This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, time to delve back into the national waters. And that with Henry Shinecoff. Shinecoff Communications, full service strategic communications company headed by the great Henry Shinecoff, who has certainly had plenty of clientele, including the Clintons and Michael Bloomberg and the aforementioned. Hank Shinecoff, ladies and gentlemen. Henry, it is always great to have you, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. And Hank,
that's great.
Hank, first of all, Happy New Year.
And to you, all the best.
I got to tell you, day 32. Listen, I didn't expect this thing to go this long. They're dug in, both sides. I think it goes a little bit beyond in the issue of the wall. I think there's disdain, Pelosi, Schumer versus Donald Trump. They don't like each other. We know it. You know, the Oval Office nonsense a couple of weeks ago. You know, quite frankly, I don't know who's going to blink. I don't know. All I know is people are going to miss their second paychecks. Businesses are being affected in and around some of these federal buildings and agencies. It's affecting everybody here, Henry. I don't know what the answer is. I know the Senate is coming back with something here. You know, quite frankly, you know, is it a give and take? Republicans last night released a measure based on the proposal the president made Saturday to end this thing. Nobody's expressed support for this proposal. Republicans would need some Democratic votes to reach the 60-vote threshold they need in the Senate, and that's where they have a 53-47 majority, I think. You know, it's just a tough one all the way around, Hank.
It's, look, there's plenty of blame to go around, and we got to this point in life by never resolving the immigration issues that are pretty clear during Democratic control of the chambers. And during a Democratic presidency. So nothing new here in that way. What is new is that the president dug in, and he has no room to compromise, frankly. I mean, he's in a very difficult political position because of this obsession with the base. I love that word, the base. And the fact that he's worried about being reelected. And he's also in panic. He doesn't know how to get out of problems. It's not his great strength. He creates them, but he can't get past them unless there's a photo op. And there is no photo op of a family that works in the federal government where both are earners. Could be an EPA cop or, excuse me, a Department of Homeland Security family that's not being paid. But you name it, but there's no photo op that makes that good. On the same token, the most significant fellow in all this, and who's handled it, I think, from a power perspective, the best is Mitch McConnell. And the best way he's done it is nothing, which for his purpose is extraordinarily smart. Why? He does not want to lose the majority that he has in 2020. He's betting against the president's failure to lead in an appropriate fashion, that somehow he can survive no matter what. And he's let the Democrats look like the main players and partners in Trump in a disaster, frankly, for the economy and for average Americans. So it's pretty fascinating to watch.
It is, and quite frankly, you know, it's either the plan, you know, the 3 years of protection from deportation to DACA immigrants brought to you as illegally as kids while providing the money, you know, for the wall. You know, listen, no one's budging here. You know, quite frankly, they're not giving them the wall, Hank. They're not going to do it. That's the bottom line. I've always said it's about the base in 2020. I mean, that's really what it is. This was a campaign promise that has gone awry from the point of Mexico paying for the darn thing, which you knew they weren't going to do, to, you know, getting it funded. You know, I mean, listen, there's not going to be a wall. You know, what there has to be is more patrol. There has to be ports of entry, you know, the situations involved there. I mean, that's how you kind of curtail a big-time problem that has really been let go for years. You know, no one's paid attention to this. I mean, that's really where it's come. This is a problem of the past administrations. It is. And right now, the president and his campaign promise is trying to pretty much live up to standards here so the next 2 years are easy, and that when it comes to reelection as well.
Well, let's be clear. You know, the amount of money being requested around the trillion plus, whatever it is, multiple trillion American budget, it's a government budget, it's nonsense. So it's not really about the money. there is a much larger issue involved here. And the Democrats also, who I think on your program I predicted the pickup would be somewhere between 30 to 50, and I was right. But they don't want to lose what they got, and they could by declining turnouts in the House if they pass anything that allows a wall. But the really proper the compromise that might work, frankly, is to hire X number of border agents, X number of put in X number of scanning devices and modern technology, and X portion of the wall in places where it's needed. There has frankly not been a true public policy analysis of cost benefit. If you put up a wall, where do you put it up? Where are the entry points? And what does it really accomplish with the amount of money we're spending? That's a reasonable thing, too. The threats to put troops there, I mean, you know, it's kind of ridiculous because we're not looking at our own history. We've had a problem with Mexico, not since yesterday and not since the day before. We had troops on the border in the famous Zimmerman telegram that some credit was starting the First World War. Was a scheme to get the Americans involved in Mexico and putting troops on the border. Well, we did. There was a fellow named Pershing who led the American Expeditionary Force there, and then frankly went out then to do what? To be the supreme commander of the American Expeditionary Force in Europe during World War I. So it was certainly a popular place to be if you wanted to further your career. That likely had something to do with it. But this is not new, and this is not a resolvable problem as we know it. It is entirely ideological, and it is all about, well, getting elected and staying in power.
See, is putting up, kind of a partial situation wall-wise at ports of entry, having troops, more personnel involved there along the border outside of those ports of entry. Maybe, listen, he needs the word wall put into this equation. He needs it.
Put the word wall in, Hank,
otherwise he ain't going to go for it.
Put in a wall someplace, have a public policy means of determining outcomes for the wall, which everybody will salivate about because 2020 is coming down the road, and give him something. It doesn't matter. It won't matter because he never is going to go above 39 to 42. He hasn't gone above those numbers since the beginning of this stuff. And the beginning of his entire presidential career, he's going to have all kinds of other problems. Why let the government continue like this? Because ultimately, when something bad like this occurs, guess what? Everyone gets blamed. This is not a zero-sum game. And you can, right. I can see the television ads right now because we have history to make some judgments about this. In 1995, I was a part of disclosure. I mean, I was a part of the ad making team for President Clinton. We all came on the fall of 95, the spring of 95, because he was in pretty bad shape, and he wound up winning big. Why did he win big? Because they shut the government down. We have to recall. This is not going to work out well for anybody, because it's just not what people want. But guess what? They're going to react. Come up with a solution. People do in labor negotiations. Send somebody behind the scenes on both sides to get it done. The famous term Switzerland is something that labor negotiators understand. You have to have a neutral someplace who can figure this out. But we do it quickly, because the longer it lingers, the more resentment you'll feel underneath the surface of the people who want the wall and the people who want to be paid. Excuse me.
Gesundheit, I think. Henry Shekup with us. One thing I'll say, and last thing on the wall stuff, is I just hope it doesn't take an event of magnanimous proportions, whether it be somebody getting through a TSA line, a firearm, something in that regard where a disaster could occur. I just hope it doesn't take anything like that to open eyes here. Get it done somehow. Give them a little bit of the wall. Get more personnel involved here, and let's fix this problem. This problem is people need to get back to work, feed their families, get where we have to get back into place. TSA is important as anything, Henry. So let's see what happens the next couple of days. Oh, listen, cooler heads have to prevail here. One thing is for sure with me, the integrity that I once knew of Rudy Giuliani is almost out the window, I hate to say. The time as mayor of this great city, how he got through 9/11 and everything else, quite frankly, this man is going to need a doctor when it's all said and done. Listen, the absolute window dressing, damage control, whatever you want to call it, Giuliani redacting on remarks, walking back comments yesterday that he made a day early about discussions Trump had with Michael Cohen, his personal attorney, during the 2016 presidential election campaign about the Trump organization efforts to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. You heard him on CNN last week. You know, listen, I mean, about collusion. I mean, it goes on and on with this guy. He doesn't know what to say anymore. He's trying to protect this guy to the point where he has really lost it. Not only, I think, from a mental standpoint, but I'm worried about the integrity we all knew of this guy way back. How much we put him on a pedestal and everything else after 9/11. What has happened to the great Rudy? Does he need the job that badly to protect Donald Trump, I ask?
He probably needs the public limelight more. Look, go back in history. We always have answers if we look back in time. When in 9/10/2001, Rudy Giuliani had a 42% reelect. A lot like Donald Trump, 42% favorable, 42% reelect. He wasn't getting reelected, but he couldn't run anyway, term limits. But if he had to face the voters, he would have been defeated significantly. The tragedy of 9/11 happens. He becomes America's mayor. He gets more FaceTime on television than the President of the United States. It's what is a extraordinary national tragedy. And he has this great patina of leadership. And an extraordinarily new persona created by the tragedy around him. He runs for president, doesn't even get out of the gate, you know, really. He gets whacked early on, goes in the private sector, has some success. But his moment really was always in public life, as a U.S. attorney, as a mayor, as a failed presidential candidate. So here comes this great opportunity to be the face of the Trump prosecution, effectively, public prosecution. He's going to set it straight. Everything he's done is likely wrong from a PR perspective. I'm not competent to make legal decisions, but it strikes me that having been through cases and having helped manage crisis in both civil and criminal cases, it seems to me that he is not. I wouldn't want him on the team, and anybody who's rational wouldn't, because he can't get a clear story. And not only that, he's not believable anymore. So everything he said adds to the further chaos and the lack of clarity about the things that are being investigated, reviewed, and the general apparent incompetence of the Trump administration to manage daily activities. Now, they're good at getting conservative judges on the bench, but that doesn't resolve the wall crisis, and it really doesn't provide an agreement with North Korea. There's a story in the papers today that North Korea has effectively put more nuclear sites in place, not less. So it doesn't resolve Iran's attempt to get political power, military, and more political power in the Middle East, which is getting within striking distance of Europe with probably more effective weapons. Doesn't resolve any of that. All it does is create more drama and more chaos at a time when what we really need is a president, and we need a lawyer who represents him publicly who can be much more clear in his behavior. I mean, it's just kind of sad, too.
You know, here's the thing. You're going to see Rudy next time. He's going to wear a red nose and makeup. Quite frankly, it's must-see TV if you're in for a laugh. I mean, he doesn't know what to say anymore. I think he's nervous. It's almost like he has a nervous tic now. I think it's getting to him, and I think, quite frankly, there should be a new spokesperson in place if anyone is going to take that job. That's a tough job. I'll give Giuliani credit. He's taking a bullet for this guy, but I got to tell you, it's hurting his reputation beyond belief.
So, why take a bullet?
Well, because the president asks you to do something, you're going to do something. I mean, look at Michael Cohen. He took one. He's in jail. I mean, quite frankly, it is what it is. The president asks you to do something. The president makes a phone call. You got to be there. I mean, that's the bottom line. Giuliani's doing what he's doing. That's what it is. No?
Well, look, there's got to be other ways to serve the president besides being looking foolish in public. There's other ways to think this through. And the issue, it seems, for any logical person is why. We've now brought the politics of gossip and entertainment to a new level, and Rudy Giuliani has led that rise in the further mocking of our politics, which this administration has seemed to do a very good job at doing. And it just it's not history will not record these events well, and history will not record his behavior well. He will be seen as a
Henry Shankoff with us, Shankoff Communications. All right, Henry, does Kamala Harris excite you? Does Julian Castro excite you? Does Elizabeth Warren excite you? I know one thing. Kirsten Gillibrand makes me laugh. That's a whole nother story. But I got to tell you right now, the field is a little sketchy to me on the Democratic side of things for 2020. Do we see any new additions there? The killer bees? You know, when does Joe Biden finally come through with something here? What about Beto O'Rourke? What about your old pal, Michael Bloomberg? Is he a little too old? He's got the cash. Quite frankly, does he have the moxie to go against this guy? You know, what about the field as you see it now and for the future here?
I don't think the Bloomberg question is about moxie at all. Moxie Mike Bloomberg had. The question for him will be clear path to victory. That's all. Money is not necessarily dispositive of winning, but it's important. No question about it. But again, is there a clear path? And if there's a clear path, he would be a terrific president. That's my feeling. He'd be a great manager. He'd create the get rid of the chaos. Taking Mike Bloomberg out is a special case for one moment, because he's got a different decision point to make. But if you think about it, you make a list of all the candidates. You do the old four corner tables after elimination. I don't think Beto O'Rourke goes any place. His constitutional marks last week were frankly idiotic. But the best ticket today to win is Joe Biden at the top. Kamala Harris for vice president. There is, it's logical. It makes sense. He would calm the waters. Age is no longer an issue. We have people living way past 90 on a constant basis. That's not the question. People aren't thinking about age. They're thinking about constancy, calmness, and some sense of leadership and control. He also appeals to a good deal of voters that Trump, north of the Mason-Dixon line, that Trump really appealed to. He's a Catholic. Comes from a blue-collar world. He seems to be very compassionate. He has the ability to empathize, and he's actually done things in Congress that make sense. He has a real record to run on, as well as having been Barack Obama's vice president, which counts a lot here. Barack Obama, contrary to what some people will say, idiotically, is the greatest vote getter in American history. Kamala Harris, a woman, black, very important. Hillary Clinton lost. One of the reasons was that she did not generate a black turnout. Kamala Harris will generate that turnout. So will Joe Biden. And she'll generate women in her direction without a question. I mean, just by showing up. So that's a great ticket. Gillibrand, really, she ought to spend more time in Suffolk County before she goes to Iowa, don't you think? She hasn't been there a lot. And she's got, her resume is thin at best. But she does have the Me Too issue to run on. And she's very smart about raising money through the years and spending it in places that matter, with potential endorsers and others who could help organize a presidential run. So it would be really silly to count her out, because ambition and good and smart politics tend to win. How so? Well, there was a one term in those years. The Georgia governor, I think, had a 2-year term. There was a 1-term, 2-year governor from Georgia named Jimmy Carter that no one thought could win. And then, as I recall, there was a 1-term U.S. senator whose previous experience had been in the Illinois Senate, who became president of the United States, and his name was Barack Obama. I mean, we could do a play-by-play on each of them, but real quick, Warren from Massachusetts, what's her great strength coming in? She's close to New Hampshire, and she could win the primary there because of proximity. Will be like rational things, right? Who knows? So you have Gillibrand, Harris, and Warren in now officially, with everybody else waiting to see what happens.
I think Biden is the guy. He'll announce it in a couple of weeks. We get into February, he'll announce it, no question. He has time to get over his son, who passed a couple of years ago. Hank, I think he is rankled beyond belief regarding the goings-on in Washington. He could be the savior. You know, he could be the guy that many look upon as far as, a change of course here. I think once he fully commits, I think you will see a tsunami of support here. No question. I think a lot of pressure on Donald Trump. There's no question you are going to see pressure galore here going by way of Donald Trump. That is a fact.
Biden, Harris, pull this thing off. And they really can. It would be a smart move. It's not that. In Kamala Harris's case, it's not geographic, because if Joe Stalin were on the Democratic line in California, he would win. Let's be real. Not the question. The question is the gender dynamic, the race dynamic, and she's kind of center on some issues, left on others. She's within the mainstream of the Democratic Party and, frankly, someone that no one knows an awful lot about yet in national politics, which is good news. She hasn't been around in the Senate long enough to make great errors, and her party was in the minority for some of that time. So it's good. She'd be good news.
Harris, for those who are wondering, who is she? Most recently, you know, the whole Brent Kavanaugh proceedings, you know, the very tough questions leading the way there, part of that committee. She has definitely made an impression. I think that's a great tandem. Biden, Harris, you know, here we go. You know, let's start the ball rolling there. Henry, a pleasure as always.
And, I'm grateful to you.
We hope to hear more of you throughout 2019. It's going to be a very important year here, obviously.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.